This is the Friday Morning Zine. Good morning. I'm Jeff Pope. Today we're talking about Yucca House, one of the largest archaeological sites in southwest Colorado, which acted as an important community center for the ancestral Puebloans people from AD 1150 to 1300. My guest to introduce us or reintroduce us to Yucca House this morning is Fred Blackburn. He's a local historian, writer, and ne'er-do-well in our community. Fred, good morning. Nice to have you here.
Well, with that, I think I'll just go shovel snow.
Okay, well, you know. So. Hey, what got you reinterested in Yucca House? And I mean, this is a very large ancestral Puebloan site, very close to Cortez. And not a lot of people know about it, where it's even located, and what it's about. What got you reinterested? And then maybe we'll talk a little bit more about its importance.
Well, in 1990, when I was doing work at the American Museum of Natural History, I came across, or I should say we came across, several photographs, about 10 of them, that dealt with Yucca House, which at that time was called Aztec Springs. And they dealt with an excavation that Richard Wetherill had done in 1894
The photos dealt with that excavation.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was shortly after he had come back from Grand Gulch. And he later read or had a report in The Archaeologist that talked about these two different types of skull types that he had found there, which raised some questions on a cultural difference that occurred there. So I've got my bucket list of things to do here, and Yucca House was on it. And it's more connected to Snyder's Well, which is what the excavation was called, and it's just a little—it's close to Yucca House, but not quite there.
So Snyder's Well is the excavation of the Wetherills from 100 years ago,
right?
Okay,
right, and it's there have been several people that have come across it through the years, and several things have happened, but nobody had matched up the photographs with the on the ground locations, and I was able to work with Lucky Pickens, who owns part of the Hallie Ismay's place, and had a group of kids come in from Denver, and I just gave them 8 photographs and said, go find it. And so we have now been able to match all the photographs to the on-the-ground locations.
What was important about that excavation? And then I want to drop back, and I want to understand what's important about Yucca House, the complex. I mean, we're not just talking about one big building. We're talking about a complex, right?
Yeah, and you're talking about a complex all around it, too.
Okay.
And so what my main interest in it was is to track the ownership of how things came down there and what had occurred up to 1918. So the Yucca House archaeology is not really what, there's only one portion of it that I'm fascinated with that connects to Snyder's Well. And we have to go back up a little bit, and it's a long way from being proven, but there was a lamboidal flattening difference in the people, according to Richard, Richard Wetherill, that was dug there close, of a 45-degree flattening from the people, which he called the Valley Dwellers. And in the Kiva, in Snyder's Well, they had 50-plus bodies that had been killed and executed, essentially, stone axes to the side of the head. And he inferred that the Valley Dwellers had killed the Cliff Dwellers and thrown them into this kiva.
I don't know what a lumboidal...
It's the cradleboard flattening on the back of the head.
Okay.
And what he was distinguishing, and it's come up 2 or 3 times in history, but he was distinguishing the Cliff Dwellers of having the 90-degree flattening like we're used to, and that those were the ones you can see in the photographs, that's the case, that these skulls are 90-degree flattened. Whereas, for whatever information he got, was that the Valley Dwellers had this 45-degree. And that's where it becomes really intriguing, in that I initially partnered with Christy Turner, who had, as you know, he's... very good in his forensics of skeletal material. He died while we were in the process, so he never got to get his input here. But he told me, I asked him about this 45 degree, and he said, well, I have a cradle board of that type. And I says, well, where'd you get it? And he said, Mesoamerica. It's a Mesoamerican trait. So what it questions is why has that not been looked at least as a cultural difference between those groups out there? I think there's a potential real opening for really reinvestigating who was occupying this valley because of that statement.
If you've just joined us, this is The Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope here with Fred Blackburn. Fred is a historian and a writer, and he's a organizing some research work at Yucca House, actually, at a spring nearby or a site that was excavated by Richard Wetherall 100 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. What's problematic about going back to, for example, the Wetheralls and their suppositions, and then I guess I would say reinvigorating them or resurrecting?
Well, the problem with this, and I'm trying to track it out now, is that supposedly, and I forgot the archaeologist's name from Harvard, indicated that these were all the same cultural group. And so we don't have enough description. Like when Richard says, you know, we have all these other people with these 45-degree angles being excavated nearby, he doesn't say where they're being excavated, who's excavating them, or why he knew there was a difference. However, the Wetherills only did two affidavits where the entire family signed off on things. One was Charlie Mason's 1917 article on the discovery of Mesa Verde, and the second was on these skulls, showing that this was authentic and not made up.
And therefore, with all the work the Wetherills did, they must have thought this was pretty important.
Yeah, they observed. He observed something here that, unfortunately, not enough words to tell us what that was all about. But the importance of this is you really don't see any prior excavations mentioned until 1918, when Fuchs talks about. When Fuchs initiates the buying or the giving of the site to the National Park Service. So part of our photographs indicate that Snyder's Well was being excavated. At the same time, somebody was digging at Yucca House as well. So that's where we're making this assumption that those skull types may be different in current-day Yucca House than they were in this kiva.
How far is Snyder's Well from Yucca House?
Oh, it's a little over a quarter mile.
Okay, but you would consider it to be contemporaneous and connected?
Well, that's where your archaeology's got to come in. Mm-hmm. But we do know it was, you know, a Pueblo III site, and there's everything at Yucca House. So I think what I'm trying to do here is just kind of stimulate some thinking.
If you've just joined us, this is The Friday Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope here with Fred Blackburn. Fred's an historian and a writer, and he's running some research as it relates to Yucca House and the Snyder Springs area, which is near Yucca House, southwest of Cortez. We'll be back after this short break. Stay with us. Back. This is the Friday Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope here with Fred Blackburn. He's an historian, a writer, and is doing research on the Snyder Well area near the Yucca House complex southwest of Cortez, Colorado. The Yucca House complex is an ancestral Puebloan habitation or a complex that was habitated between 1150 and 1300, at least in its high period. Fred, what you're finding out, what are the key research questions that you want to know about it? I understand it's what were the cultural differences between the people who looks like they were killed and put into a kiva or killed in a kiva. And what else?
Well, I think for me, the question was, where is Snyder's Well and proving it directly?
Okay, proving the work that was done by the Weatheralls.
Well, where it happened. Mm-hmm. Because once you go beyond that, you're talking about two or three research projects that are going to be pretty long-term to look at this in a different way, and that's not really my intent. I've just always kind of tried to get a basic understanding of what happened there to provide somebody else the leap to do the archaeology or to give a very good history to the Park Service.
How hard is it to match up photographs from 100 years ago and then bring, as you did, students down and say, here's the photographs, we've got the rights to dig around, make it happen?
We were fortunate because we had good background photographs. In other words, you could see the Mesa Verde, you could see north to Aztec Ridge, you could see south to Chimney Rock and Lukachukai. So you could match by geography. However, that didn't quite work because there's quite a few places that matched those photographs, and we were able to narrow the ones down at Yucca House quite easily because it hasn't changed that much. But where it really got sticky was trying to find Snyder's Well itself. And like I said, there's been at least three or four people that were more than certain that that was Snyder's Well, but no one had ever actually proved it. And at the reason it was called Snyder's Well is the man, William H. Snyder, who was a clerk here in the district court at that time, had thought that these big depressions out there were actually old Aztec wells. And so he started to dig into it in the fall of 1893, and all of a sudden just starts running into a mass of skeletal material and stops. And he knew of Richard Weatherall's work, and so they contacted him actually in Bluff while he was working in the Grand Gulch area. And he came back with his crew, and he actually raised money from three different donors to excavate this kiva. And it had some really unique architectural features in it.
Such as?
A long lateral tunnel. As Richard said, we followed it in a little ways. Usually they turn up and go to the surface. This one continued on. And we have all kinds of mixing stories because we haven't found where the tunnel is, even in the photographs we have. But it supposedly went a long distance to a spring source that was on this nearby and then popped up again. We got some strange stuff going on there, just no matter what. A lot of layers of plaster on the kiva surface. I think there was a fellow there who came during the excavation that indicated there was 12 or 13 layers of plaster in this kiva that he could see.
What has that meant in other kiva sites when you see layered plaster?
Well, just a lot of use and reuse. I've done everything I can through the donors to track out to see if there was artifacts that were moved somewhere to where these people were prominent in their giving, and there's nothing shows up from there. And what I suspect was it was full of a lot of skeletal material, and that was maybe the majority of what was in that particular kiva.
If you've just joined us, this is The Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope here with Fred Blackburn. He's an author and a historian, and he's leading some research at the Snyder Well area, or Snyder Well site, which is near the Yucca House complex. Now, is Snyder Well actually part of the Park Service, or is that on private land?
Well, we didn't know that question initially, but it does lie within the Park Service boundary now. But it's associated with a lot of other structures that are on private land. And it's another place where private land ownership and the park could cooperate better and really take a look at this. One of the other really interesting things to me, Jeff, is that in 1873 and 1874 when the Hayden Survey came through with John Moss. Moss was calling, they came in from Mancos Canyon side, and he named something he called the Colorado Road that came from New Mexico and went right through Yucca House. And that all the wagons and everything that came from that direction always came right through Yucca House. The question comes up there, what was the Colorado Road in 1873? Because there was hardly anybody out here. And is it associated with perhaps the Chacoan Road system that comes through the middle of the village? There's one picture of John Moss taken there as well. What we didn't expect to see was, or to relate to, was the amount of excavation that was going on at that time, actually, at Yucca House. And the person who ended up buying it was a man named Harry Van Cleek, who invested, tried to get rid of the fly-by-night mortgage lenders to agriculture in this region. He was quite a man out of Denver. And he bought it in 1892. And that date's significant because there was a major effort for a railroad to come from Gallup through this area. It was also significant in that he controlled all the water rights from Aztec Creek and Aztec Springs. But I actually think that what he was planning was either this road or this railroad would end up having people stop there and visit, much like you would have at Mesa Verde. He kept that. He never sold that property, which to me was really interesting, and gave it to the Park Service just shortly before he died in 1918. So a lot of that history just has not been looked at to really ask a lot of research questions that hopefully this article will stimulate and see if somebody wants to tackle some of these.
Do you have an article? Is it coming out in a publication, or are you self-publishing?
My idea here is I intend on giving it to the landowners and to the National Park Service and say, here, you know, go beyond Jesse Fuchs here. This is complex here as to what's going on, and the history is fascinating.
When will you be doing more? Will you be going back to learn more about the site or the history?
No, I don't think so. I think I've done really detailed land ownership, individuals, everything that I can possibly do to set the basis for those early years. And like I said, my hope is to just stimulate some interest in the basic research that we've done to find this place.
Well, thank you for coming in. That's Fred Blackburn. He is an historian, a writer, and a researcher. He has just completed work at the Snyder Well Complex area near Yucca Springs, or Yucca House, which is southwest of Cortez. It's a national park site, also surrounded, of course, by private land, which has a lot of ruins on it as well. Fred, thanks for coming in this morning.
You're welcome. Didn't mean to scare you.